Acts of Appreciation, written by Artemis the Huntress and read by Sunkitten Shash. Summary. Murderbot's humans give it a present, a handmade quilt to say thank you for everything it's done for them. Murderbot has its emotions in private. I narrowed my eyes at the package near the door. It wasn't moving, and there was nothing that gave off a feed signal wrapped in the colorfully marbled paper. A magnetic scan indicated nothing made of metal, either. I poked it with my foot. It squished inside. Probably not a bomb. Okay, then what was it doing, sitting here in front of my station lodgings? I picked it up to look at it more closely. There was a handwritten note pinned to the paper. Dear Sec Unit, this is a present for you. Don't freak out. You've saved all of our lives 2 or 3 times by now, and we just wanted to do something to show our appreciation. This is from all of us. It was signed by all 8 of my humans. I sighed. I didn't need to. My lung capacity is a lot lower than a human's, and so I don't actually take in enough breath to sigh unless I'm actively trying. That's how weird this was. They did know they didn't need to do this, right? Saving their lives was my job, and wasn't something you give a thank you present for. Preservation humans give presents to each other all the time, though. It's part of their whole barter culture deal. They give presents when they go over to each other's houses, and they give presents when it's someone's anniversary of being born, and they give presents when they ask for favors, and they give presents when they thank people for favors, and they give presents when they make apologies, and for every other event you could possibly think of. Mostly the presents for everyday things are food or drinks, sometimes cut or potted flora. I figured a thank you for saving our lives present probably wasn't food. Whatever. You don't give presents to sec units, is the point. You just don't. Nobody does that. I didn't know if the preservation humans didn't know that, or if they did know, but decided they were going to start. I picked up the package and brought it inside before anyone else could see it. They really hadn't thought ahead about how bad a suspicious packet in front of my door would look. Humans don't think about that. Inside my quarters, alone and quiet, I undid the careful folding of the paper. I didn't have expectations. Again, no one gives thank you presents to sec units. I didn't know what it was. But inside was a large, thick, folded piece of textile, and another note. I unfolded the textile first. It was just that, a flat rectangle, pieced together of smaller squares of various colors and textures of fabric. Okay, I'd seen this before at Mensa's family's farm. It was a quilt. And like the quilts at Mensa's house, it looked handmade. It made my non-existent stomach turn over. The quilt was as big as I was. Must have taken a long time to make. Hours of dedicated work. For me. What the fuck? It was pieced together out of large and small squares of fabric, making a pattern. A lot of it was black and gray, with some green, pale yellow, and the almost white that all the white fabric on preservation was. And I quickly realized I recognized some of the fabric in the quilt. Prominently displayed was a square cut out from a shirt. I recognized the shirt. It was from a concert that Rati and I had gone to, playing in a park down on the planet. The band was Corporation Rim-style punk, which was honestly ridiculous in some ways, because what did preservation young adults have to protest and rail against? But they found things. Rotti had gotten a lot more curious about what life was like in the Corporation Rim, and this was an extremely edgy imitation of a rebellious corporate resident art style, and he invited me along because he said he was interested to hear this kind of music, and wanted to know how it compared with others from the Rim, and if I'd like it. I went with him because, sure, live media. The music wasn't very good, but it was very energetic. I think Rotti had fun. Part of the corporate rebel aesthetic was the fact that they had recycler-printed shirts with their band's name and a picture of them on it, free for fans to pick up. I decided not to inform them that at a real concert out in the Corporation Rim, even the most anti-corporate band would be selling those. Rotti picked one up to show support, but grimaced when he wore it. "It's tight under my arms," he said, after the concert was over and we had dispersed. "And the fabric feels so slippery. Is it supposed to feel like this?" "How would I know?" was the only response I could give. Sec units don't wear band t-shirts. I never saw him wear it again, and I forgot about the shirt. But here it was, sewn into the quilt, the emblem of the band we had gone to see together. A lot of the rest of the black squares that made up the pattern on the quilts looked, and when I ran my fingers over them, felt, like they were taken from that shirt, too. On preservation, they don't like to waste fabric, because without recyclers, it takes so damn much effort to make. So instead of throwing the uncomfortably fitting polyester shirt away, Rotti had reused it. Maybe that made me feel better. It wasn't like they'd gone so far out of their way then. That wasn't the only fabric I recognized as I looked closer. There were a few squares of soft green that I had definitely gotten up close and personal with before. It looked like the shirt Baradwaj had been wearing when she was attacked by the worm on the survey. I touched it, as if that would verify anything. I'd been wearing my armor when I'd carried her out of that crater, but I was pretty sure it was the same fabric. It was probably the same shirt. It had gotten torn up and bloodied pretty badly when the worm had done its best to take a bite out of Baradwaj. I hadn't realized she'd kept it, but I guess preservationers were even more neurotic about reusing fabric than I thought. But the more I looked, the more I realized I could name the origin of all of the fabric that made up the squares of the quilt. There were a few squares of gray fabric with a green leaf pattern printed on it. I'd seen that print before. Mensa's youngest child, Hadil, had clutched a quilt up to their face for protection, while I verified that the monsters from their nightmare weren't real, and also were gone, anyway. Their quilt had squares with this fabric, gray and green. Okay, so Dr. Mensa had some leftover fabric from that. Made sense, I guessed. Several squares were off-white, fading in stripes to gray and greenish and back again. Those were Arata's. I recognized the work from the loom at her home. She actually made fabric from thread. I had never once wondered how fabric was made before I came to preservation. It just came out of the recycler, like most things. But in Arata and Oversay's home, one corner of the side room had a weaving setup. Sometimes, when Arata was overwhelmed and too much was happening or things were too loud, she would put on heavy headphones and sit down and just weave for an hour or more until she or the rest of the world calmed down. She said it was soothing, the repetitive motion, the ability to see the project growing under her fingers. It seemed like it would be boring and take forever to me, but it relaxed her and made her feel better. It was similar to the four squishy, bumpy squares near the corners. I suspected those were made by Dr. Valescu. Ever since coming back from the survey, Valescu had taken up knitting as a retirement hobby, or maybe just something to steady his trembling and fidgety hands. He would laugh that he wasn't very good yet, but all his children now had new scarves for when it got cold, I guess, and these squares of fabric were tight and even, and not loose and tangly. This wasn't just a collection of leftover scraps. They'd made this. For me. I was definitely not feeling a big and complicated emotion when I folded the quilt over so I could read the second note. It was pinned to one of Arata's woven squares, and also written on paper, by hand, another weird thing I'd never seen anyone do in real life before preservation. Sec Unit, this blanket is yours. All of us participated in putting it together. Oversay really showed herself a big damn hero figuring out how to integrate and quilt Valescu's knit squares. Because we appreciate you, and you're our friend, and sometimes I think it's hard to express that in ways that don't make you uncomfortable. So instead of a hug or any of that touchy-feely shit, we thought this could be like an abstracted or delayed hug. Something soft and warm, something that doesn't require touching anybody, and in fact can be a barrier to touching anybody, and something that's yours. And it is yours to do what you want with. You can use it as a blanket, or you can drape it over a chair, or you can hang it up and shoot for target practice if this is too much. Not on the station, though. You will get yelled at if you discharge energy weapons on the station, regardless of what you're shooting at. But you should get to have some nice things, too. Thank you for being here, and for continuing to choose to associate with us. Why were my clients like this? Nobody does stuff like this for sec units, okay? We don't have things. We are things. I had no idea how to respond to this. Sure, I'd seen plenty of gifts being given on preservation, and that mostly got a response from the recipient that was a smile and a hug, which, no. Or in media, when a character gave someone else a huge, expensive present, usually they started crying and kissing the person, which, extremely no. Or else it turned out to be illegally gotten somehow, and had to be either returned or destroyed by the end of the episode, which wasn't applicable. There aren't any frameworks for how I was supposed to feel or respond after getting a gift like this. Which, I guess, was why they left it in front of my door, rather than handing it to me in person. If they had done that, I probably would have actually just bolted. Here, in my own room, I could spend actual whole minutes processing the emotions from this, while just sort of staring stupidly at the quilt in my hands. I hesitated, then ran my fingers over the fabric again. It all felt different, mismatched, but carefully pieced into a neat pattern of colors and grays, a work of art rather than just something functional. On preservation, so many things were made to look nice when they didn't have to be. And because they tried to make things look nice, rather than churning out the cheapest, most functional shit possible, everything took longer to make, and nothing was exactly the same as anything else. Nobody else on the planet had a quilt exactly like this. It was made for me. Even on the quilt itself, the black squares of Rati's shirt fabric weren't exactly the same black as... Wait a second. I paused, rubbed my fingers over one of the black squares, and ran a basic material assessment. That last one didn't tell me shit, but touching it did. Those were my pants. Dr. Mensa had incorporated my pants into the quilt. I had to sit down. I had to do something, and I was just standing there in my room, and so I sat down, because I didn't have anything else to do. 52 cycles ago, Dr. Mensa had told me, gently, that my pants weren't structurally sound anymore, and I should probably get some new ones to wear day to day. "Do you own any other clothes?" she asked. "Obviously," I said. I held my arms out, gesturing at my hoodie. She smiled tolerantly. Her tired, "I know you're avoiding the question I'm actually asking," smile. "I mean, any more pants, or skirts, or sarong, or anything?" "These pants are fine." "Sec unit," she said. "These pants are ripping beside the seams, and the material is coming apart. Rati patched the bullet holes, but the pants fabric is not actually robust enough to hold up to the wear you're putting on it, and the washing it takes to remove the stains from your fights. The fabric around the patch stitching is tearing now. It's a race against the holes, and we aren't going to win. These won't be good to wear for much longer." "They're fine," I had insisted. "They still work." "You don't have to pay for replacements," Dr. Mensah had said. "I promise. It won't be a burden on you or on me, and nothing that anyone else will think twice about. But you can get pants that are made of better fabric, that won't degrade like this thin recycler fabric does. These are falling apart on you." I wanted to keep arguing, but I looked down at my pants, and yeah, they were half-patch at this point. Rati kept offering to teach me how to patch and darn clothes, which is apparently a thing that every juvenile in preservation learns how to do, and is considered a vital skill toward being a real adult. I tried to download an education module to learn it myself, so I could say, "No, I already know how, I'm fine," but turns out they don't make education modules about sewing for sec units. Figures. From what I'd seen of humans doing it, though, it looked like it would drive me insane with how tedious it was, anyway. And at the sides and corners of the patches, holes were starting to open in the pants fabric again, and I did nothing to fix them. Stupid, shitty, cheap recycler fabric. The worst part was, she was right. The last time I took these pants off, I noticed that there was a rip in the crotch, and I had no idea when it had gotten there. I resolved to only wear the long hoodie that falls all the way over my hips from now on, and otherwise not think about it. I was fine letting Dr. Mensah think I was just being stubborn and difficult for no reason, or that I was concerned about the price to get new ones. The truth was significantly stupider. I felt attached to these clothes. These were the clothes I had chosen and bought for myself at Havratin. I could have chosen anything, and I chose these. They were mine, the first things that had ever actually been mine. Yeah, they were generic recycler download styles, printed on demand out of polyester and meant to be worn out and quickly replaced. But so was I. And I had pulled through this long, and it felt wrong to just discard the pants. It wasn't their fault they were cheaply made pieces of shit. This felt too dumb to explain to Mensah, that I was on the verge of an emotional breakdown over a pair of pants. A pair of pants that I evidently wasn't enough of a real person on preservation to even repair, because fixing things is just not a skill sec units are meant for. We're meant for one thing. Like pants are. "Fine," I said, to try to make these emotions go away. They were stupid, even for emotions. "You're right, they're garbage. I'll toss them in the recycler."
You don't have to get rid of them," Mensah said. "If they have sentimental value to you, I don't want you to think you have to throw them away. Certainly keep them if they mean something to you. I would fully understand that. They're yours, and I won't take them from you. Just, it would be a good idea at this point to make sure you have other pants or skirts or similar to actually wear every day that will hold up to that much use. There's no use in keeping pants if they're not going to be used as pants, I said. It's fine. It's whatever. There are plenty of things you can do with them. You said the fabric was crap. It's certainly not high-quality fabric, Mensa said, but that doesn't mean it's useless. You can reuse the fabric or the patches, or you can just keep them. Having sentimental objects is entirely normal, even if you don't use them anymore. No, I said. That's dumb. I was having an emotional breakdown over a pair of pants. And now I just wanted them out of my sight, so I didn't have to think about it anymore, and could shove those emotions where they belonged, i.e., not in my head. Do you? It's fine, I said. Mensa was quiet for a moment. Instead of throwing them away, would you mind giving them to me, then? I'm sure I can find a use for the fabric. It's always good to reuse, unless throwing them in the recycler will be satisfying or cathartic to you. Sure, I said. Whatever. Take them. Use them for, I don't know, corn bags or whatever. She nodded. Then she said, quietly, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you. I just thought, I'm sorry. It's fine, I said, for like the 8th time that afternoon. It's not you. That was the truth, too. I was upset about the pants being worn out, and mad at myself for getting so upset, and also mad at myself for probably making expressions with my face about it that Mensa could see. I was mad at the corporate clothes recyclers for making clothes so disposable, and mad at the company for making sec units so disposable, and mad at, I don't know, the whole concept of things and using them, I guess. And then mad at myself again for letting myself get so worked up over what was, objectively, the most minor thing in the universe. I've gotten torn apart by fauna, locked in transport crates for dozens of cycles on end, shot by angry humans, shot by rival sec units, shot by a particularly rude combat sec unit, and shot by bored clients. I've been ordered to do really awful things, and I did them because I didn't have any real alternative. Those were things normal people would get fucked up about. And I thought I was doing so well about not letting things bother me, because I was a sec unit, and if you're a sec unit and you let things bother you, you die really fast. And then, after all that, it was the fucking pants that got me. Mensa ended up taking the pants. I ended up avoiding all humans for 2 cycles and aggressively not having feelings about it. And I got new pants that were better anyway, and then had avoided thinking about it for 52 cycles. But now, here they were, reused and repurposed into an art piece, a useful blanket, a thing that was made for me, out of things that were relevant to me and my humans, and a thing that was mine and would stay mine. And my performance reliability dropped by 2% because I was going to have a second emotional breakdown over the same pair of pants. I held the quilt in my arms and picked up the note again. But you should get to have some nice things too. My humans had thought ahead after all. They'd given this to me where nobody had to see me have an emotion. I pressed my face into the quilt and appreciated the privacy. Mensa smiled as I walked into the door 43 minutes after her work hours had started. Hello, Sec Unit. I made a sound. I flopped onto the couch in her office, hooking my knees over the armrest. Mensa raised her eyebrows slightly, but her smile only got more relaxed. That was good. I appreciated seeing that. "Were you able to get out of the station budget meeting?" I asked. She sighed. "No, unfortunately. That's not usually my purview, but they want my input on how all the recent events may impact travel from some of our trade partners with close commercial ties to corporate polities." "That sucks and sounds terrible."
"It does, but it's undeniably necessary," Mensa said.
"We'll be sure to keep you up to date with bi-minutely security updates." Mensa snorted at that.
"I'm sure they'll be far more entertaining than the budget meeting, and I'll be more useful responding to them than I will be there."
She didn't ask about the quilt. I gave her plenty of time to, and she didn't. That's why I felt okay, taking it out of my shoulder bag and arranging it over my knees and middle while I sprawled there on the couch. It was warm without being hot, and a satisfying weight. And it was comfortable. A little bit like armor for when there was no shooting or fighting likely. Never impossible, but today risk assessment deemed not likely. Mensa looked up at me, smiled, and then looked back down at her external feed interface so she wasn't staring. I settled into the broken-in couch and queued up episode 81 of Sanctuary Moon. The end.